You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Blackisonline.com.
Break!
What's going on, y'all? It's your man Chris, one half of the Brothers Lehman. You are tuned in to the Black Is Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. This episode is a continuation from last week. Last week we were talking about gender versus sexuality, all that surrounding the Bruce Jenner interview. This one continues with, you know, struggling with identity. We still discussing transgenderism, kind of touching on identity, where your identity lies and how it is affected by religion, society, and genitalia. We do get a point in here where conversation does get heated. So I just want to make y'all aware of that. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. Y'all want to hit us up and any thoughts, any comments or whatnot, you can reach us via email at kc@blackisonline.com. On Twitter at Black Is Online, on the hotline 323-455-4219. Hope you guys enjoy. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Brother Malcolm. So I've been listening and I'll just say this about everything that I've heard today. I think part of the challenge that many people have, particularly when it comes to identity, is where does your identity lie? Mm. And for me, as a man who professes to be a follower of Christ and someone who absolutely understands that God is the head of his life, that my identity is not about me. It's about how God sees me. And so what I think is so many people are running around, and I'm not saying, you know, obviously if you don't subscribe, if you're an atheist, if you don't subscribe to God, this will make no sense to you. But to those of us who claim that we have a belief in God, that is something that is greater than you. And a lot of the talk that I've been hearing tonight is about, well, what do I want and what do I get and where's my happiness and what is it? And particularly I look at my life and I look at my family, I look at my and people around me. And then I look at some people who I know who really, really have decided to be like, I'm going to be down for this cause of being follower of God. And their life is not easy. And they have made choices to be obedient in such a way that there are choices that are made in their marriages, there are choices that are made in their families that are not necessarily things that they want, but they feel that they're being led by God to be in those positions. So one of the things that I would say is, you know, I think the world, I always use that, you know, part of the challenge that the world has is that the moral compass is completely off. I think that the world has an identity problem because the world is trying to find its identity in Tom, Dick, and Harry. And Tom, Dick, and Harry, I've always been taught, you don't ever look to your parallels. You look to something greater than you for your advice, for an example of what you can be, for a guidance. And so people were talking about their kids and, you know, the influence or whatnot. You know, when I have kids, they will only be taught that don't look at me, look at an example greater than me. Look at an example greater than your friends. Look at an example greater than the celebridom of what we see on television. And I think we have to be careful because you get so caught up in that. And I'm like, if in your home there is a clarity about who we are in our home as a family, then I don't really have a worry about them going out and being with their friends and this friend is this and that. Because I know in our home, this is what's taught. This is what is this is what we advocate for. This is who we believe we are. And so one of the things that I would just say is that
how do you balance raising conscious kids who are clear about their role with God and who they are, but also being, or should they even be, accepting of other people who may not believe in God? When I say accepting, I mean accepting it and not patronizing. That was just another question.
I don't think you can be as naive to think that you're going to be in a world where there are going to be all these people who act and walk like you. I don't even think God wants that. God gives the people free will. Like, you can choose to follow or not follow. It's not like if it was a choice where all of us, we would be robots and it would be like, oh God, oh God, oh God. So that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you as a family unit, you as your, whoever you are, whatever you decide to be, I don't care. If you want to be we are the transgender progressive family, then be clear about that identity for your family.
Sorry, I'm not but, the idea of it.
But I just find it very interesting that people say, oh, I believe in this, I believe in that. And then when it comes down to it, you're like, but let me mix in this belief and this belief and this belief. And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work unless you say
it doesn't work that like that for you.
No, right? I'm saying like it doesn't. Well, yes, I will agree. It does not work like that for me.
Right, and your interpretation of what Christianity is.
It's not my interpretation. It's what it is. You can't say that you believe one thing and be like, I believe this part of it, but I don't believe this part of it. Because my thing is, then don't believe any of it.
Well, be careful. I'm like, hold up. We don't
believe either that are in
yeah.
I mean, that's another discussion, but I'm just saying.
Oh, now it's different.
What I'm saying is, ultimately, the point I'm trying to make is about where does your identity lie? Who do you subscribe to where your identity is?
I completely get your point, Malcolm. I think the challenge, especially if you blend it, if you talk about parenting, even when you set that foundation, it's just no guarantee that your children will go the exact path that you lay out for them. In fact, I think it's almost a guarantee that they won't. They're going to deviate off the path somehow or some way. I think about just my own walk and the various experiences that I've had, which will not be divulged on this mic tonight. I will say this, the foundation that my family set for me has a lot to do with the person that I am. I'm not extremely conservative. I'm not conservative at all. I think, it depends on what we're talking about. But I do know that there's a certain set of beliefs just in regards to being good and kind to people and having a sense in my mind of what is just and what is right that was laid by my parents. Now, we don't agree on a whole lot of different things. Homosexuality being one of the greater topics that is of debate at my family table in regards to my perspective and my parents' perspective because we're from a different generation. But I say all of that to say is you want to set that tone in your household, of course. It's just, you just never know what the odds are. But I think if you do set the foundation, the core of who your children turn out to be, you hope ends up being that of which you've laid into them. But there just is no guarantee. You know what I mean? And when I think about folks that I grew up with in the church that I grew up with, I can think of several gay people who will just never speak about being gay. And I often wonder what their walk is like, because that's a lifetime of suppression.
Exactly.
They've made that choice, and they're well within their right to make that choice. You know, I think of one in particular who's married and has several children, and the conversation about him still goes on. This man is very grown. He got grown children. But there is something about his very presence. He's an effeminate man. You know, and I always wonder how he deals with it if he deals with it in his day to day. At some point, I guess he's all right with who he is. He's all right with the choices that he's made. And he has a church family that accepts him in some way. They still talk about him behind his back, but they accept him. Yeah. But it's the sort of acceptance that he's tolerated, and he's okay with that, because so much of his life is involved in his church family. And so, you know, I stay conflicted on topics of homosexuality just because I've seen family members shrink and live very, very lonely lonely lives because they don't have a circle to whom they can come to and say, family, this is who I am and I need you to love me. And I just want to be loved without having somebody condemn them for the choice. I've had it happen, I mean, as close as an uncle. You know what I mean? And so many things be layered onto his lifestyle. Oh, well, you know you got a drug addiction too. Oh, well, you know you was doing this stuff too. Not allowing him just to live. And so that for me is a concern, especially as a parent. I don't know what's going to be the outcome of my children, but I want them to know whatever choices that they make, regardless of sexuality, whatever the case may be, they can come to Chris and I and be loved and accepted for their choice. Even if it's not a choice I would have made for my life, not a choice Chris would have made for his life. There are children, and this is home, and this is going to always be home, no matter what. And so that I want us as a people, really, a community, to be more, just love people. Right. Love people and let them be where they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just love them and let them be where they are. Because if we're talking about homosexuality as a sin, we all fuck up. And we all sin. And nobody points to us and like, damn, you, somebody give me a sin. You liar.
Liar, fornicator.
You thief,
you glutton.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Nobody wants to talk about the glutton.
Right. Nobody wants to. And I'm, as I stand here in all my chubby gloriousness.
Yes. I'm not talking about that.
But I'm saying. But you know what I'm
vanity
saying.
Vanity, too. Like, yeah, nobody wants to talk about
nobody.
That.
Nobody.
Yeah,
greed.
Yeah. The hard part, Malcolm, is that you can create a great foundation. And what you want overall is you just want your kids to be good people and who want to be themselves. The hard part is that you can't control the two things. One, you can't control that child in terms of what God wants his walk to be. You can say, all right, this is the foundation I'm setting in this house, and this is what we believe. What happens if he's being led on a path that doesn't fit into that box? How do you, as the parent, handle that when your kid is doing something you personally wouldn't want them to do? Because, I mean, frankly, as parents, we can set these rules and these views and what we would like our kids to be, but they have to go their own path. We all are born in this alone, and we have to walk the path alone. Yes. The other part is of course, the world and society. We don't know how people outside of them are going to treat them. Some may be cool with it, some may be not.
And you can't control.
And I mean, nowadays it feels like the big thing is the LGBT. And I put out there, it feels like at this point now, I mean, we've had it, I know, with the brother who's on Orange is the New Black. But I think Bruce Jenner.
Sister.
Yeah. Okay, look. But Bruce Jenner specifically now puts this community is basically being eyed now as like, okay, how does society feel about it? Now the T in the LGBT is going to get all the attention, and now we get to figure that out. Because it feels like being bisexual has been around forever and they've been okay with it for women. you know, because I mean, because honestly, you can be for men, and I don't know how many, but for men, a woman can be bisexual, a man cannot. That's how it's being brought. Because I don't know how
he's gay for life.
Yeah, because I don't know how women feel about it. Because for men, we just like there is no oops. I just one time at college, and it's just like, oh, you gay. Right. You can have a moment as a woman in college, and then be like, all right, I'm gonna stick with men, and then people, society will be like, oh, okay, it was just a moment. That's fine. For men, it's like, nah, you. This is who you really are. Won't you just say it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, though, the other thing that bugs me, too, is just when we think about the kids and parents and future parents, the worst, I can't think of anything worse than losing my children and for my child to die by their own hands would just be the absolute end of me. Because I would run in my mind over and over, what could I have said? What did I say that made my child not feel that, like, why
it
wouldn't
it matter?
Right.
Whatever was hurting them out in the world doesn't matter because mommy loves you. You're
right.
loved.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that would, I would just get right on down in the ground with them, throw the dirt. I'm, ain't no point in me even trying to, because I could never make sense of it. You know, so whatever we could do to stop that. When I see these children in the news who are killing themselves because they're transgender, and it's like we were talking about before we turned the mics on, it usually comes after this grand announcement of them coming out,
right,
and it being celebrated, and whatever the aftermath of that celebration is, leads them to kill themselves. I mean, it's just... That's scary.
But don't you think, and I have kids, so I'm not taking away from what you said.
Right.
But I just have to believe that there's more to it than that. I think there's a search to be accepted, you know, and you try this, you try that, and then nothing works. And out of frustration, you know, one may just throw the towel in. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But I it's just hard for me to draw the conclusion that, okay, you decided you wanted to be something other than what you came into this earth as, and now you want to die.
No. It's because that person's not feeling accepted.
Right.
It's because someone said, you know, that they're not allowing you to receive love in the way that anyone else should. Like, I don't think that I think that if people actually felt comfortable saying, I am transgender, I feel like I'm this and I'm trapped in a body that's that, then we would have fewer people trying to kill themselves or literally killing themselves. I think that it's the lack of comfort in saying that and being that that causes people...
Okay, so I want people to feel comfortable to be themselves. Does anyone have a fear of giving transgenderism too much, like, attention? Or not too much attention,
power?
But too much thought? No, not acceptance. There can't ever be too much acceptance, but too much attention. Because people who actually aren't really transgender might be thinking, oh, now I'm transgender instead of just being gay. Or
it'll become a fad.
Yeah, like...
That's gonna happen with everything.
That's every single planet.
Well, I'm just asking a question, y'all. No, I'm just asking.
Well, two things I wanted to say, because in response to some of what Malcolm said, I would like argue, like, obviously, you know, parents have good intentions, but like the stereotype of preacher's kids is a perfect example of, like, you know, you can think that you're putting forth a certain foundation, and that doesn't mean it's going to be followed. But also, yeah, I mean, I think phases are fine, but it's like, if you're going to actually, like, go through a surgery, then I'm like, okay, I'll believe you, kind of. I mean, if you're willing to take it that far, then, you know, you're kind of for real. I mean, if you're just, like, experimenting dressing in women's clothing and, like, oh, maybe I am or maybe I'm not, like, I don't care. Like, whatever conclusion you reach is fine. I guess I'm just, like, I'm not concerned that people are going to, like, recklessly cut off their penises just to fit in, but... You know, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe they will.
See, I guess that's for me is like sort of the difference. And I this would probably be very unpopular with a lot of people because I do know a lot of people in the LGBT community. But I guess, you know, I'll say this. What I just
honor
I want to be. I want to. Oh no, I'm going to honor my beliefs. I guess what I do want to clarify that absolutely love is always going to be at the priority in the forefront. So whoever my children, whoever anybody's children are, love is always, I'm always going to greet you and love you. And the thing about, the problem I think we have in this world is that everybody's trying to change everybody. You know, whatever relationship you have, whether it's with God, whether it's with another human being, whether it's in your family or whatever, everybody has an individual relationship and you have to make connections with individual people, with God and whatnot. So... To me, the problem is there's so many people out there talking and it's a lot of talk and not a lot of walk. So whatever you believe, walk it out, right? And I'm gonna tell you right now,
walk it out like an usher.
So that's that. But what I will say that as a Christian man who has plans to raise a Christian household, there will be conversations about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Like somebody earlier was saying, well, what is a man and what is a woman? I'm like, whoa, are we now at a point where we don't know what a man and what a woman is? Like, just because there's a shift in...
Mm-mm. I'm sorry. I'm jumping in because you minimized the statement, and that ain't right. I'm sorry.
You didn't understand what I said.
Well, no, that's what I heard.
Clearly, I know. Right, let us explain. Clearly, I know what a man and a woman is. I'm saying, what are the roles we are assigning to the male gender and the female gender? I know what a man and I know what a woman is. I'm 41 going on 42 years old. Yeah, I'm moisturized. I know. You didn't know what I was saying. But... you understand what I'm saying? Like I'm saying that the gender roles we've assigned to these genders are limiting. They're limiting.
I would agree. I don't believe that a woman cannot bring home more money than a man into a house. I think that's ridiculous. That's crazy. If you have the job that brings home the more money, I would never feel like I was less of a man because you brought home more money. So I agree with you. I think some of those things are antiquated, and a lot of those ideas are based a lot of in misogyny. So I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I just thought I had heard that people were like, well, what's a man? What's a woman? Because I've been in conversations where people have those. They really are like, well, can we, like, there is like, well, maybe we should redefine. What does that look like?
And I agree. I actually think we should, just in terms of not biologically. I'm saying the gender role that we assign to what a woman is. Mm-hmm. Because I know women who've lost their breasts to cancer, who've lost their entire uterus to cancer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're still women to me, you know? So I just think that the gender role that we've assigned, they're
But is that a role or a circumstance? That's not a role.
But so do you know any women who have lost their breasts to breast cancer? Because it impacts them greatly.
Yeah, I know multiple women. And I also know women who've had breast reconstructed.
So what if they didn't get them reconstructed?
I know women...
But that's the conversation point that she's making, is why... Your identity as a woman is not connected to your breasts, but that's what.
And your identity as a man is not connected to your penis.
I disagree. I disagree totally, because
it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
But then how do you identify?
Okay, but you identify as a person. You identify as a person. I am Rada.
What's the purpose of your vagina?
You're Rada and you moisturize and you do have nice food.
What's the purpose of your reproductive organs?
If you lose your penis, are you no longer a man?
What's the purpose of your
I do question my masculinity at that point.
Okay, and so my point is that it does have an effect.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
I don't understand. What was the purpose?
I know the women I know who have lost their breasts to breast cancer. They struggle in their marriage. They struggle with security, and their husbands may or may not want to have sex with them, and whether or not their husbands still love them. So it is a part of their identity, because now they don't have these breasts, these identifiers, these clear identifiers that you're a woman. So this whole notion that we knock down all these walls is a bunch of malarkey. It's bullshit. If you cut my dick off, you might as well throw me in the grave.
Okay. Wait, hold on. So I want to be honest.
That's pathetic.
This is honest. I want to go back.
That's some pathetic shit.
I want
right
to go back to my question.
It's not. It's the truth.
If a Jew can't reproduce,
the problem is this.
He's less than a man.
I want to know if all of it goes. Do you still feel like?
No. If I married a dick,
you. You don't marry a person. I married a woman. I didn't marry a person. And at night, I do with her what I want to, because she's a woman. I didn't marry a person. This is some bullshit here.
If that was the case, he could marry a man.
Yeah, no. Hell
so
no.
What if he did? Who gives a shit?
Because he's saying he's marrying a woman.
You marry who the hell you want.
No one's answering the question.
Whom he's going to do with whatever he wants. Because she's not a person. She is a woman.
Right?
I will say, Darius, she just got you on that point. You just said she's not a person. She's a woman. I got what you meant. No, I got what you meant.
It's semantics. It's semantics. Right, right. And I'm not going to let you.
I know what you meant.
No,
I want to hear more from Moisturizer. Moisturizer.
You're not going to catch me.
Moisturizer, look at me.
You're not going to catch me.
I'm not trying to catch you. You catch me.
No, I'm not.
Welcome.
No, I'm not. You're trying to tell me there's no connection between.
No, I'm not. You actually didn't even let me finish. You don't know what I was saying. Period.
I'm not trying to figure out what you said. I'm arguing with you based on what you did say.
Right, but you didn't let me finish.
And see, this is the problem.
The only point that I was trying to make, though, is that whether or not you struggle at all losing your breast or your penis, whether or not you struggle at all, it shouldn't. The woman, the man, genitalia or not, that person is still your spouse. And the commitment that you made to them before God or not should remain.
Sickness or health?
Sickness, health, genitalia, no genitalia, boobs, no boobs.
But you're talking about what should be versus what typically happens.
I did say should. And I said with or without struggle. I'm not saying
But
my question remains. My question for Darius remains. If a man is unable to reproduce, I mean, and it's okay if this is he less than the man because his genitalia does not function the way it's naturally intended.
And I don't typically answer questions with questions, but in whose eyes? And see that
in your eyes, I'm talking about for you.
No, not in my eyes. But see, but then that man as a man, does he feel like less than a man because he can't reproduce? That's the bigger question. If we're talking about
he loves
within oneself.
No, he probably, but that doesn't mean does he feel like
he can still bust without making a kid? Yeah,
he may not feel like a man anymore.
What about guys that are impotent though?
That's what I mean.
I mean, that's pretty much what he's saying.
Impotent. You could be
impotent. You talking about
infertile and still be able to have sex, but you could if you're impotent, you can't have sex at all. Is what I'm saying.
Oh
if
yeah, that's a good question for you. If you're somebody pronounce that word for me.
Impotent. It's just like how we say impotent.
Okay,
like
impotent. How black impotent. People say impotent. Yeah. If a dude is impotent and he can't get it up, for you. He has the tools, but he can't use them.
Well, let me explain. No, because I have a cousin who has that situation, and he had a pump installed in his penis, and every time he wants to have sex, he blows it up. Now it won't go down for 4 hours, but he handles his business.
What's the difference between that and a woman who has gender reassignment who gets the pump, you know, put in and she gets to have...
But see, we're talking about happiness and we're talking about what should
be. I'm asking you what the difference is. He's not less than a man, but he can't get it up.
He's not saying he's not a man. He may just feel like his manhood percentage has dropped some, but that doesn't mean like, okay, now I'm not a man at all anymore.
What about a man with a micro penis? I've seen them online.
They are a man with a small ass dick.
Have you deception?
So the question is a man more is a man more of a man the bigger his penis is?
Tash, you know what, man? You need to come back to the other side. You asking too many questions.
Yeah, but I was gonna say to Shelby's point, it's easier said than done depending on what the change is. Because if the change affects you negatively.
That's the point that I'm making.
Because that goes back to the whole thing with the grandparents. It's like, okay, all of a sudden I'm riding on this ship. All of a sudden the fucking Titanic hits. All of a sudden there's a big hole in the ship. Do I jump? Do I leave? Or do I go down with the ship? And you can say, well, according to God, you're supposed to go down with the ship. But I'm like, what if God is telling you, you need to jump ship and it's okay to jump ship. But everybody else, but on the same breath, you can say, well, under God, I'm supposed to do this to the day I die. So I can't jump ship.
Let me tell you something. I am a God-fearing Christian and I do believe that. And there are many cases where people should get divorced because there are many cases when they shouldn't have got married in the first place. I am not saying that if you get your boobs cut off, you just bam, back into life like normal. I said with or without struggle. With or without struggle. And the other thing that was brought up, I don't even remember by who, I'm like, I can't remember now, was like whether or not our parts function. But whether or not you should stay in your marriage to me is not the same thing as whether or not you are a man or a woman, or does that identify you as a man or a woman? Like, I just, though, to me, those two things aren't necessarily connected for this conversation. Because in this conversation, I was saying, like, back to what Rada said, your identity, like, as a woman or as a man, with or without your boobs or your penis, like, you know, you're still who you are at the root of who you are as what God made you.
Not necessarily.
I
mean, you're talking ideally. I mean, I think this
no,
pie in
I'm
the sky.
No, I'm not. I said with I or without struggle.
Put it this way. It is a identifier. It depends on the person. It's the person themselves. And I guess inside as a whole, do they affine that identity as the identifier? Like, all right, you lose your penis. You're not necessarily like, you're not a, you know, you're still a man because you were just born with some shit happened that you lost it. But maybe to that man, that was his identifier. And now that that's gone, right, he's in limbo. Well, for some people, it may not be.
That might be his struggle, you know. Like,
well, once some change happened, you're going to struggle.
Period. Well, that's what I'm saying. Period. That's all I'm saying. Like, with or without struggle, you don't stop being a man because you hit a... You don't stop being a man when you lose a job. You don't stop being a man if you lose your penis. You don't stop being a man if you don't...
In the grand schemes, you don't. But that particular person may feel like I'm not a man anymore.
I understand that. And that's part of the struggle. But your kids... Penis or not, you're still their daddy.
And I will say this as a parent, the hardest problem is you're basically, you have to be somebody to another person. But like I said before, this is your journey. You're not walking your kid's journey. This is yours. Your kids at some point are going to be in your situation. Like, I want to, because people just, you know, do you stay? There are some parents, kids I've heard who are like, I'm happy that, you know, my parents, I seen it. It didn't work, but they stayed together for us, and I appreciate it. And there are probably some kids who were like, I seen some horrible shit, and my parents broke up. My mama left this person, my daddy, and I'm so proud that she left my daddy because it depends on who you grew up, who your parents are, the situation. It just depends. It's not black and white for everybody.
But the facts still remain that at a certain time in American life, families stayed together. That's factual.
Yes.
And
there was some crazy shit that went down.
Yes. A lot of crazy shit. Yes.
Right. But,
yes,
but and yes, around that time, around that time, women were basically, women were basically below me. And now it's like, now you probably, maybe you had to stay in the marriage as a woman because financially you were not allowed. Maybe you were making, back then you were probably making 10 cent on the dollar.
Can I just fight for some good marriages that did work? I mean, my grandparents are...
No, it works, but...
I mean, they've been married for coming up on 50 years. And, you know, my grandfather brought home money. She brought home money. He gave his paycheck to her. She took care of the bills. They clearly defined what was going on with their roles, and when it worked out fine. I think the challenge is, and this is fine, people don't realize the problem with marriage and divorce, if we're going to go there, is that people don't have all the pre-conversations that it takes to understand
your
marriage.
Which is
so it's not about that it can't work and all that stuff. It's like you need to be aware of, like, okay, so if we get to a point in this marriage where I, for 5 to 6 years, am bringing in no money as the man, will you still respect me as the man? And will I respect the fact that you bring in the money and still treat you as my equal in this partnership and not be all salty because I'm not bringing any money? So those are where the conversations are not happening in marriage, is because when you know what your role is, I think it all works out. And I'm sorry, roles have been established since the beginning of time. If there were no roles, then you wouldn't have corporations. There wouldn't be a CEO. We would all be running this thing.
But there's always gonna be, and there were roles. At one point, there was a role called master and a slave. So do we ascribe to something simply because it's established? For 400 years, black people were in the role of enslaved chattel slavery. So I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But we can challenge a role. It's okay to do that.
I didn't say there's no role.
And the role,
what I'm saying is there are certain roles that have worked.
Okay. Oh, no. I was going to say the role... There are roles in the relationship, but the roles don't have to be so stringent and defined for every single couple by the exact same standards, okay? So, like, for example, that's what I'm saying. So, like, let's say, for example, let's... like, okay, hypothetical, because it's totally hypothetical. Let's say Chris liked to cook. And typically,
let's just say.
That's right, a fantasy novel.
I'm not a cook.
But let's say Chris likes to cook and is a good cook, and typically that would be the woman's role, is somewhere in the kitchen, but it's what he's good at doing, and I'm good at managing the money, and we switch those roles. We still have a role to play, but they're not roles that are defined by what society says. This is what you're supposed to do as the wife. This is what you're supposed to do as the husband.
That's my parents. My father was the cook. My father made more money.
Yeah, he was.
But in terms of managing the money, my mama was on it, because according to her, if she let my dad manage the money, we wouldn't have no money. But that's okay. But I mean, but thing is, like, if you find a man who cooks, if you're a woman who likes doing all the cooking, just be okay. Like, you know what? Maybe I don't want a man who loves cooking as much as I do, because I want to be the dominant one in the kitchen. And if there's another personality who wants, if we're going to have two chefs butting heads, this is probably not the best relationship for me.
Or get into a conversation about how y'all two can start a business. That would actually make more sense, in my opinion. But hey, that's just me.
Yeah, but it depends
you
on.
You end up like that couple that's getting a divorce right now. There you go.
I don't know. I just also feel like roles, beliefs, ideals, in the context of the reality of today, right? Yes, the black family has been decimated in this country. Black men are under attack. I don't know how many hours out the day. So there was a report that the New York Times just came out talking about the 1.5 million black men who are missing, you know, who have either died prematurely, missing in the penal system, died from hypertension, you know, like died before they had a full spectrum of life. And so when you have that to contend with, maybe the roles, maybe things need to change, because maybe there aren't a single educated, God-fearing black man for every woman. You know, maybe they're not all packaged in that way. So I feel like based on survival, we have to approach it based on the context in terms of where we are right now. I hear you. And I think it would be ideal if every black woman in this world had a great, educated, God-fearing, you know, spiritual provider for the family. That shit is not available to everybody. So then what? Then what? You may have to create a modern family. I'm not saying men should go out and marry 2-3 women, but like,
why not?
Because that's not what she want to do.
You don't know that. I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm a very open-minded person. I'm a very open-minded person, and what I believe for myself is not. Trust me, it's something way over to the left, way over to the left. But it's my going through life and saying, oh, that's not for me. That's not for me. I tried this on. That don't work. I tried that on. I'm bisexual. I have no problem saying that at all. Okay. No. And no, because we're having a conversation about what people's personal beliefs are. And I just feel like for me, there's a lot of limitations. There's just a lot of limitations. And for us to say, well, you know, the family should look like, let's look at what the family looks like right now. And there are a lot of young black men who are not being groomed to be the heads of their household. They're not being prepared. They're not armed. There's a fucking war out there. Okay? And our kids are not armed. So for us to have these expectations around roles, when who's the person teaching that person that role? Where are they? And if that man is not present, maybe it's his two aunties. Maybe it's his single mom and the grandma. Whatever. Like, I feel like we have to be able to shift. Our survival is on the line, and we have to be able to shift our philosophies based on where we are right now. 1.5 million black men lost, missing. And then what? Solution?
One of the things.
Where's that?
I'm hearing everybody say, and it makes me think that we're actually as a society much further along than the limitations that we put around our own selves, is that we all understand that within a marriage that the two people in the marriage set the terms, and a smart marriage that people have the conversations ahead of time about who they are, no matter what it is, and what they would like to do within the marriage, like the roles they would like to play. And I think your larger point, Radha, about how we should have an open conversation about the roles that men and women play is exactly the conversations we have in, you know, in small circles. But like opening it up and having it be like Malcolm said, where we know where we have a defined role in our individual unit, is something that people have been doing for a long time. And I think further to your point about the society, though, it's about the judgment that we put on people when, in fact, we see someone who isn't playing a role similar to the one we've chosen in our own lives. And we want to live in a place where when people choose different roles for themselves, and it's totally out of principle and connection with our relationship with God or whatever guiding light we have, or even if we're an atheist and there is no guiding light, that we don't then judge and, you know, make someone feel less human. And condemn, not judge, condemn, and make them feel less human because they've chosen that.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that it's very important that roles are allowed to evolve and grow or change with the times. And I mean, I think even if you look back at times that we don't think of as necessarily like progressive, like World War II, and women had to take over a lot of responsibility because men were away at war, and it was just like a shift that society understood had to happen, and so it happened. And it wasn't like a thing, like it wasn't like, oh, but they're women, like why are they working in factories? I mean, maybe people did think that, but it still happened, you know, and like we dealt with it because that's what the situation dictated. And I think as with situations like the 1.5 million missing men, I mean, situations dictate certain roles that have to be filled no matter who fills them. Or and also, I mean, I think just the idea, to me, it's freedom, because if there is a man that doesn't like sports and does like to cook but is straight, you know, like he should be allowed to be that and not like have women and men, but even women that will don't think of him as manly, or like,
or if a man cries,
or wouldn't be attracted. And the more we can expand that, to me, the better, personally. So some of this has to happen in order for that to happen. Like, we have to accept things that are outside of the norm, and we have to accept that there are gay people, there are transgender people, there are people that are in between, there are people that have both. I mean, there's everything, you know. So to me, the more exposure, the better.
But all of that
Yeah, it deepens the heterosexual experience, because you realize people are layered and not just made in one way to think one way, to function one way, to act one way. And I think it would take a lot of pressure off a lot of people. I mean, to me, that's a lot of reason why marriages don't last, is people just aren't able to fulfill the expectations that other people have of them. And it makes it impossible to get by on the day to day, because you constantly are trying to fit this mold. As my granny would say, you're trying to make a square fit a circle, and it don't work.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.